good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You know, one of the realities that we are experiencing in our present world is that we are living in the very world that Isaiah describes here. Evil is being called good. We are living in Isaiah 5:20 right now. Those who call evil good, good evil, darkness for light, light for darkness, bitter for sweet, sweet for... Everything is upside down. That is leaking over into the church. Don't think the church is exempt. We need to walk in a renewed mind about the truth every day. And how do you know that? Well, I see leaders who have totally abdicated covenant relationships and everything to promote an antichrist into office. I've seen leaders, and there's a spiritual principle in the Word of God that the people follow the leaders. As the king goes, so goes Israel. So as the church, as the leaders of the church go, so go the people. So we need to prepare ourselves. We need to know what our enemy is, who our enemy is, and how to fight him. That means we need to get honest about some things, and we need to declare what is evil and what is good. Yes. We need to know that. We need to know what is light and what is darkness. We need to know. I mean, they're selling perversion as if it's love. Mm-hmm. Because the angel of light, who's that? The devil himself appears as the angel of light, as an angel of light. And he starts to pervert and pervert and pervert. If you went to sleep 5 years ago and you had a dream about what's actually taking place right now, you would think you woke up and you had a nightmare that night.
Absolutely.
Because it's happened so fast. You say, well, how does this happen so fast? It hasn't happened fast. It's been happening for a long time.
Yep.
Ever since we kicked God out of schools, we took his word out of schools, out of courts, out of everything, and say, we'll take it from you. And God's hand of blessing just started coming off. And we started murdering babies. 65 million. You know what happened to Egypt after their infanticide, the destroying of the male babies in Israel, of the children of Israel in Egypt? God judged that. They were a world power. Not for long. After that. And the same thing's happening here. We have inflation. We have all kinds of things going on. But I want to get down to this too. We need to know what the enemy is, because good Christian people who love God are getting confused.
Mm-hmm.
They are getting confused.
Yes.
They're saying that, well, I guess homosexuality isn't that bad. Well, you know what? The Bible isn't like an app that you get updates. We don't get Romans 1 2.0. No, we get the perfect version, the original perfect version that came from God to us, and it has not changed a bit. We need to call darkness darkness instead of light. We need to call evil evil and not call it good. We need to take a stand, because it's up to the church to set the standard of God's morality in the earth.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. It's not a battle of good and evil. The real battle exists in the mind of men, and the argument is what God calls good and what man calls good. That's where it is. How about it? Are you tracking with me here?
Absolutely.
I'm not being saying these things to be mean. God loves everybody, but he gives everybody the same choice to receive Christ or reject him. You know, I remember when I was young in the Lord, get first baptized, you start going to church, and they said, well, if you were smoking cigarettes, if you're doing that, you're going to hell. And I go, whoa. You know? And they were teaching that as if it was, there's not one scripture in the Bible that says if you're smoking, you're going to hell. But yet there's over 40 scriptures in the New Testament that warn us about deception. And those little things that they add to the Bible and add to it, say, their own traditions, their own doctrines, they make void the Word of God. And when you start declaring those things as if they were doctrine, then the Word becomes of no effect. And when you do say the truth, they're not going to believe you anyway because you've already said things that are not true. Jesus said that. They came to Jesus and said, why don't your disciples honor the traditions of the elders and wash their hands like John's disciples? He said, I'll ask you a question. Why do you, by your traditions, make void the Word of God, the commandment of the Lord? Oh. What? He says, yeah, by your commandment that you do this Corban and things like that, you are making void the Word of God that says, honor your father and your mother. You know what Corban is in the law? Corban is where you have a widow, and Corban is the fact that anything she owns goes to the temple, and they leave her destitute. But they call it Corban because it's sanctified somehow. Mm-mm. No, they were plundering the widow's goods. And they were calling that good. And it was absolutely evil. And Jesus put his finger on it and said, no, that's evil. You know, we have been the frog in the pan for way too long. And when something is a little bit off, you need to get your nose in this word. Until it starts, until you start getting the light concerning that thing. What does God say about this? What is the truth about this? Because most people have put their compass, they've just thrown it away, and they have lost their compass. Mm-hmm. You know, the one thing about a compass is you can't change, it'll always point north.
Right.
It doesn't change. Either is the Word of God, and either does Jesus. And those who call, now, I'm focusing on light and darkness, bitter and sweet, but there's a warning here. What are the first three words of that?
Woe unto them.
There is a time coming, and it's coming very soon, where those who declare these things, who undermine the Word of God, who undermine the morals of God, who take part in the immorality of this world, there is coming a time, and it's probably going to be this year. I don't know. But to me, it's like things are like this now, where the world is about ready to explode. And if you don't know that, you got your head in the sand. That's the reality of it. So Jesus gave us a warning about this, too. Remember the parable of the wheat and the tares? There was a landowner. He planted good seed in his field, good wheat. And while men slept, I'm going to write a book. While men slept. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares in among the wheat seeds. And when they started to grow, the servants came to the landowner and said, didn't you sow good seed? Why are these tares coming up? And the man said, an enemy has done this. You need to be aware that the enemy is active all the time, when you sleep, when you're awake. When you're awake, he tries to compromise and water down and insinuate certain things to get you to compromise the truth. When you're asleep, he wants to get into all of the things that you've done and make them undone, make them no good. So he said, an enemy is not. They said, well, do you want us to pluck up all the tares then? He said, no, it's too late. It's too late for that. Because if you pluck up the tares, you're going to pluck out the wheat too. Wait, let them all grow together. We are in a time where it's all growing together. Mm-hmm. The righteous in the earth need to be rooted in the Word of God, in the righteousness, and in the things of God that God has placed in them. The fruit of the Spirit, the faith of God, the life of God, the attributes of God. We need to stand straight in those and not get distracted by all these tares, which are weeds that choke the good word. No, we need to get our ground fertile in the Word of God. He said, let them both, and at harvest time we'll separate it. Then we'll take the tares and we'll bind them in bundles to be burned. That's the end of the tares. Now, that judgment time for those tares, just for the sake of his children. Do you know the wars that God fought for Israel? That wasn't because he liked to kill people. In fact, he is the general that holds the all-time record of how many people he killed in one night. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the angel of the Lord went around, and 185,000 Assyrians were dead. Why did he do that? Because he is fierce in his love about his own. He is fierce about the covenant that he made with Abraham, that he will make it good, that those who bless Israel will be blessed. Those who curse my people will be cursed. We have a better covenant than they had, so why would God do less for us than he did for them under a lesser covenant than we have? And he will fight for you. He will strengthen you. Oh, turn to Psalm 105 again. I'm going to... Psalm 105. Woo, glory to God. Something just opened up here. We just hit a vein. Hallelujah. Psalm 105. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing songs to him. Talk of his wondrous works. You got to talk about this. Talk it up. Talk. What has he done in your life? Amen. Has he brought you from death into his life? Yes. Has he brought you from sickness and disease and poverty into the blessing of Abraham? Amen. Are you not a joint heir with Christ? Yes. Raised up far above all principalities and kick them in the butt. Yes. Get them out of your life. Say this. Say this. Demons who have plagued me all my life. You get out of me in the name of Jesus. You depart in the name of Jesus. You have no place in me. You have no way to get over me. I have been recreated. I have been filled with the Spirit of God. I am surrounded by angels of God. Get out of me. God's serious about this stuff. This is how serious we got to be. Talk about it. Amen. Declare it. Declare who you are, what you have, you can do, and declare where you have been seated in Christ. Amen. With him in the spirit realm. Glory in his holy name. Seek the Lord and his strength. Don't shrink back into weakness. The devil will tell you you're weak. You don't. No, no, you're complete in him. You are complete in him. Amen. You are strong in him. Yes. Ooh. You know who the weak ones are? The weak ones are the tares, and their future isn't too bright. You keep your root in the soil, the good soil of the Word of God, and it will reproduce after its own kind. And the fruit that you will bear will be his, and he will honor you. He will honor your words. He will honor your prayers. He will honor your obedience. Didn't mean to get into all of that. How does it happen so quickly? It doesn't happen quickly. It starts with little seeds here, and a little leaven. Leaven's a little compromise. A little giving here and a little giving there. A little distraction here and a distraction there that you give heed to. Right. Look, I'm telling you, this is the way the devil operates. Oh, it's okay. No, it's not okay. Don't be the frog in the pan. Yes. Or the pot, whatever it is. You go to sleep, you get burned. You wake up and you'll know. You'll know. Pray for the leaders of the body of Christ. You need to pray for me. Pray for the people who have national known ministries. Pray for them, because they are the number one target. Because as the leaders go, the people go. Pray for them. And That harvest. You know what judgment is? Judgment is a harvest that has come from our own deeds, our own words and everything. That's what judgment is. It's a harvest of things done. So for the righteous, judgment is a good thing because we get it's filled with rewards and harvests of blessing and life and the things of the new covenant. But the judgment for the wicked is not good. It comes on them and it comes on them quickly. Just think of what happens at harvest time. A sickle comes. And the axe is at the root for some of these people. And just for the sake of his people, this is where I took the left earlier, just for his people, he will stand up and fight for them.
Thank you, Lord.
And he will separate the wheat from the tares. Amen. So let your light, don't you want to make God, I always wanted to make my dad proud of me.
Yes.
You know, don't you want to make the Father go into him and say, Lord, thank you. That you've given me such a good life. You've given me such strength. You've given me such power. You've invested in me such authority. Thank you for that. I honor you with that. I want you to know, Father, that I am full of thanksgiving for what you've done. Make your dad proud of you. Not the bad proud, but just glad that he's your father. Make him glad that he's your father. Make him rejoice that he is your father. He loves you. He's on your side. He's not against you.
Yes.
You know, there's so many people who have that little alienation in their mind saying, yeah, it's like we said earlier, it might be possible for God to forgive me. No, the reality is the blood did that.
Yes.
It's a reality in heaven. Make it your reality here on earth. Yes. And walk in harmony with God. How do you do that? Just by faith. Faith in that blood. The blood. Start slinging blood all over your house. Start slinging blood over your kids. Start slinging blood over your jobs, your business, the roads you travel on, your cars. We do it every morning. We plead the blood over our life. We even plead the blood over our cat. She's 17 years old going on 18. The blood is amazing because the life is in the blood. You getting anything out of this morning? If you're not, I am. So if some of that spills over on you, fine. Boy, I got joy, 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 joy. Praise God. Well, I'm not going to go into that. But you see, when you start mincing the word with what's going on in the world, it starts getting confusing. And the truth comes blurry until you're going right in step with the devil. If the devil is not hindering you or resisting in some way, if you're not experiencing some kind of resistance, maybe you're going in the same direction as the devil.
Right.
There's a big one. No, you need to stand up. We are light in a dark world, and we're going to stick out like a sore thumb if we're doing what God says to do.
That's right.
How many Christians know more about what the world thinks? I'll get into my message sometime. How many Christians are there that you know more about how the world thinks and their narrative than they know about how God thinks and his narrative?
Mm-hmm.
What is the narrative of the Holy Spirit in this hour? You know, why? See what happens? When you got the news on? And I watch the news to get stuff that's going on. But look, you need to filter things through the Word of God. And when you hear something wrong, get your nose in the book until light comes and you'll know what to do with it. But, you know, it says this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. It says, don't be deceived. This is one of the 40 scriptures that tells us not to be deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. That's the King James. Don't be evil associations, companions, evil in the communication that goes on, corrupt good morals. Corrupt it. That, you know what rust is? Rust eats away even at metal. You can have the good armor on, but if you're, think of the people that you associate with at work, at the store, people you do business with. You need to guard yourself against evil communications, evil words, words filled with doubt, unbelief, justifying evil, sowing discord. Oh, that's a big one. I remember a time back, I was in a church and somebody was circulating a petition saying, you need to get rid of him and the lead pastor of that church. And so it came to me and said, do you know what she's doing? And I said, I went to the pastor, I said, there's something we got to give attention to. He said, what's that? I said, well, there's a petition going around to get rid of you and me. He said, well, you need to pray about that. I said, I don't need to pray about that because the Bible tells me exactly what that is. Sowing discord is an abomination. It is total rebellion. It is taking upon yourself the mantle of the shepherds of that church, and you're doing it yourself. And they didn't even come up with a replacement. They just wanted to get rid of us. I said, look, I don't have to pray about adultery. I know it's wrong. I don't need to pray about stealing. I know it's wrong. I don't need to pray about somebody sowing discord. I know it's wrong. They need to be disfellowshipped from this church. But we need to talk to them. You're right about that. We need to talk to them and address and say, you have done this. Explain. Okay, now that you've explained, goodbye. There's only one thing you can do with goats, and that's just sort of fricassee them. Fry them. Roast them. Leave. Don't come back. Goats. You know, you can't change a goat into a sheep. You can work hard at it, and they'll just still be a goat. It takes God to change them, and that only comes when they were willing to repent. But be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And if you want to protect your church, if you want to protect your family, you're going to get rid of evil communications. Pay attention to who your kids are friends with. Who is speaking into their life? Associations. They're all in that word communications. You can look it up. The Amplified says this. Do not be so deceived and misled. Evil companionships, communion, associations, corrupt and depraved good manners, morals, and character. God, the devil is after your character. He wants to smear it and stain it. Boy, this is a hard word today, isn't it? You know, usually I'm the guy that say, hey, you know, you are who you... But the thing is, we need to know what the enemy is here. We need to clarify that. We need to say, look, we need to call evil, evil. We need to call light, light. We need to call darkness, darkness. We need to call good, good. You know, I don't know if you know how hard it is right now. If I was a preacher invited to speak at another church, if you go, and whether it's a denomination, evangelical, spirit-filled, or whatever it is, did you know how hard it is to deliver the Word of God in some churches? Most churches, every church, except this one. Because even if I read Romans once, I would not even have to comment on it. I wouldn't have to offer an opinion on it. All I would have to do is read that word, and guess what? Half of them are going to be offended. When you read Romans 1 and the decline of mankind, and the last thing that they say before God just gives them up is homosexuality. Right. What am I going to do with that? Am I going to say, if I say that, they're going to say, you hate homosexuals, and I don't. I played in a band for 7 years with a guy, and the other guitar player was almost, I have no problem with them. But you got to love people.
Right.
We love people. God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin, and that's what we hate. We got to join God. And if you talk about God's nature, his holiness, you're going to get people offended. In this day and age, right now, Christians, people who love God and will stand up, they're getting They're getting milky. They're getting blurry. There's no sharp edge. How can you be confident going to God in prayer if you're compromising in everything else in life?
Right.
You don't have a clear conscience. If you don't have a clear conscience, you can have faith. Without a clear conscience, you will be shipwrecked. That's what the Bible teaches us. And I think it's 1 Timothy 1:18. If you can look that up, I'm not sure about the reference, but it says that. Holding faith and a good conscience, without which some have become shipwrecked. Many have become shipwrecked. You need to have a good conscience. And if your morality is not founded in Scripture, if it's not founded in the Word of God, then it's world.
Right.
It's world. And you've got to come out from among them.
Amen.
And be separate. They're going to laugh at me. They're not going to feel accepted with God. So what? You are responsible for God for you. Do you know what? When I stand before God, He's not going to consult any of you and say, what do you think about this? What do you think I should do here? No. Whatever you said, whatever you did, your works on this earth, your conversations with people, and what you have accepted, that's what is going to be there. And it's not going to be a mystery. Look, you want to make God happy and glad to be your father. You need to agree with him.
Yes.
And not agree with this world. This world is passing away, and the tares and everything else and the children of the devil are going away. But those who do the will of God, who do the word of God, will stand forever. It's not about good and evil so much as it is, but it's not so much that. It's that it's become so confusing that man says something is good and God says, no, that's not good. What does God say? You know, here's another thing that just came to me. Who is the enemy? Is it God who says these things are wrong? Is it God who says, don't do that? No, he loves you because he knows that lifestyle will kill you. It'll hurt you. It'll fill you with diseases. It will alienate you from anything that's good and moral. You can't call perversion love.
Right.
And walk with God. You can't be in favor of murdering babies and say you walk with God. Mm-hmm. You can't be in favor of these things. You cannot do that and say I walk. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. It's black and white. It's light and darkness. It's good and evil. It is bitter or sweet. Whatever. Choose a side.
Yeah.
choose a side. I'm walking with God. How about you?
Yes. Amen.
I'm walking with God. I'm walking with God. And you know what? If people don't like it, I'm not here to please people. I'm here to please God. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. So here's the thing. Ephesians 6 is really very clear that we don't battle with flesh and blood. We battle against spiritual forces who are busy trying to sow tares. We need to wake up. We need to be alert. We need to be in the moment, present in the moment, and when something comes up, address it. We don't battle against flesh and blood. Think about that. You got flesh and blood fighting flesh and blood. This flesh and blood fighting other flesh and blood. And it's a total loss. Nothing moves in the kingdom when you get caught up in the narrative and the arguments of this world, the political arguments and everything. Look, pray. Get that narrative out of your head. Look, all that does is lead to self-righteousness. And it's unfulfilled anger, which is the birthplace of strife, and you don't need strife in your life. Boy, that was good. Write that down.
Yes.
It is unrequited anger, and it gets more and more every day. A little leaven leavens the whole lump until it's full. And then harvest comes, the wheat and the tares are separated. Look, God is going to let the... God wants us in tune with him. He doesn't want us to accept things that he doesn't accept.
Amen.
Don't accept things in your life that are unacceptable to him, that are unacceptable to Jesus. The things that that put him on the cross, get that out of your life. God is so much more for us. Life, blessing, happiness, confidence, continual fellowship with him than to just walk in putting up with these things in our life. No, get them out. Be who he says you are. This is where it all begins, is realizing who you are in Christ and who he is in you. I'm trying to find where I am in my message here. Turn to 2 Kings. No, actually, 1 Chronicles. Let's go there. In chapter 12 in 1 Chronicles, David was putting together an army. And he went to all of these various tribes of Israel, and he got 40,000 from one. He got 20,000, 4,000 from this one. And he got thousands and thousands. But he came to Issachar, the children of Issachar, which were men of what? Understanding the times. We need to understand the times we're in. And know what Israel ought to do. You need to know what time you're in. And there's only 200 out of all these thousands and thousands and thousands from all the tribes. There's only 200 guys knew what was going on and what they had to do about it. David took them. God is raising up a remnant now in the body of Christ. And they will come up. And guess what? It says the heads of them were 200 and all their brethren were at their commandment. God is looking for a remnant that will rise up and start making sense out of all of this, who will start declaring light, who will start declaring good, who will start declaring righteousness and sweetness. God is a sweet personality. There is no sweeter person ever that walked the face of this earth than Jesus. There is no sweeter in heaven than God the Father. So sweet that every time he opens his mouth and says something, they all fall on their faces before him. He is just so good and so wonderful to be in his presence. And it says the heads of them were 200. There was only 200 men in all of Israel that really knew what was going on and what they needed to do. And those were his inner counsel. God is raising up people who are willing to shed this life. Don't be afraid to be who you are in Christ. Don't be afraid of the anointing that God wants to anoint you with. He has several layers of anointings, and he wants to give it all to you. But he can't do that if you're calling good evil and evil good, if you're siding with the world, if you're compromising in this area or that area, because you have a friend who, they're not your friend. They're an acquaintance. Jesus had acquaintances with the multitudes. But that wasn't where his fellowship. Jesus had acquaintances in the 70, but that wasn't where his relationship was. Jesus had a relationship with the 12, but he had intimacy with the three.
Right.
Don't you want to be in that inner fellowship with Jesus? I do. More and more and more and more and more. But you're going to get resistance. You're going to get whispers from the enemy that you react to and you resist it. Resist it. Thank God. Thank God for my wife who reminds me of these things. She says, you're getting spiky. What was that word? Spiky. So, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. You know, it's just true. God's good. He has everything in place. He's just waiting for you to walk like it's true, and it will be added to you. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to end right here. Unless you can take more, I don't know. We don't beat the sheep here, we feed them. But the thing